Texas A&M was successful, the system and the university were successful in getting a $177 million grant from the Department of HHS and to help us find new and improved ways to create and manufacture vaccines on a mass scale. So it's really huge for those two institutions, as well as the consortium and our community in Texas.
GlaxoSmithKline, of course, the partner in that. And even as we were doing that, I think representatives of here and the state were up in Boston as we look for ancillary companies that would move in because this project has now been placed here.
That's correct. I think the economic development potential for the Brazos Valley is huge.
Now, what I'd like to do, and I'm not trying to pour water on this as we've just started, but this is a 5-year of a possible longer agreement. My thought is, and while they talk about pandemics and that sort of thing and flu, my thought is the uses for these mobile labs to be taken all over the world in this age of biological warfare. Does that mean there could be a Department of Defense funding that could happen in the future that could actually give this long-term legs no matter what?
I think so. When you look at this, I mean, there's two things to this. One is public health and safety. The second part is related to defense. And so I can see an easy path in the future for this to be included with defense funding and have more stability than what HHS funding would be. That said, this contract is in good shape for the next 5 years in terms of funding.
Sure. And again, we don't even know the financial impact, what it's going to do to us, because, again, 1,000 jobs, that's a lot of families that will be moving into our area. So that's it's great news. Now let's talk also about last week. The president decided that he was going to put together a policy that would give aliens under certain situations an opportunity to stay here. He did that unilaterally, so I'd like to get your thoughts.
Well, I've got three concerns with it. Number one is the president doesn't have authority under our Constitution to do this. He had as much as admitted that a little less than 2 years ago. He said he didn't have the ability to do that. Now he's trying to do it. The second concern I have is related to the impact on our labor markets. If you think about it, the one of the groups that's been hurt the most in the Obama economy is young people, particularly college graduates, and one out of two of them are unemployed. And so here the president has said, okay, I'm going to take 800,000 more people, and I'm going to put them in the competitive pool for a shrinking job market for this group. So it really is hard on young people that are struggling to get into the job market. And then the third concern, and this is pretty obvious to most people, is why now? I mean, this seems like the timing is suspect, given that he's got a presidential race, and it appears to me that he's trying to pander to certain interest groups.
Well, Bill Flores is joining us from D.C. Well, what will you say to those people who say that this has put the Republican Party kind of in a box, because if you back the plan, then that's going to make the right side of the party not happy. But at the same time, if you say that these people are lawbreakers, then you're going to make a lot of Latino voters very angry with the party.
Well, I think what we need to do is stick to the facts, and that is that the president just doesn't have the power to do this. The Constitution does not provide for this. I will tell you, in my view, the Texas Republican Party really stepped out in the proper way of thinking about dealing with this matter when it dealt with the immigration, or when it created the immigration plank to its platform a couple of weeks ago at the convention up in Fort Worth. And I invite everybody to go take a look at it. But basically, it includes multiple parts. One is securing the border, modernizing our Social Security card, ending birthright citizenship, and then developing a visa program that fits what the labor market demands. And that way, to the extent that we need labor, you find a way to get people documented that are trying to go through the process in the correct way. Now, I'd add another part to that is, and that is, I think we need to streamline the naturalization process as well.
Okay, it looks like today's showdown day between Daryl Issa and Eric Holder. They tried to meet and figure out a common ground, and that didn't happen. So what looks like is going to happen today in that situation?
Well, I believe the Oversight Committee is going to hold Daryl Issa in contempt, and then it'll be
Eric Holder in contempt.
I mean, excuse me, Eric. I believe that Daryl Issa and the Oversight Committee are going to hold Eric Holder in contempt. Excuse me. I believe that's going to happen. Basically, the deal that Holder proposed was heads I win, tails you lose. And he basically said, look, we'll provide you with certain information, but you've got to agree that if we provide it to you, that the investigation's over. And Darrell Issa didn't take the bait on that. And so my suspicion is that the committee will hold him in contempt today.
So now what does that do? Does that mean he basically lawyers up, if you will, and shuts down and we don't hear anything for a long time?
I would think so. I mean, what would happen then is that it would go to the full House for a vote. At this point in time, there are even 30-some-odd Democrats that are in favor of holding him in contempt. And so that the full House would pass that measure. Then, it's turned over to the federal attorney in the District of Columbia to pursue the process. Now, at that point in time, I think Holder will shut down and providing any other information, and I don't think this federal attorney will work very hard at trying to prosecute.
Yeah, I imagine he's probably a Democrat. I want to get away from current legislation for a minute, and as a member of the Veteran Affairs Committee, I'd like for you to talk about, I don't know, this is a curiosity for me. It seems that we are hearing more and more reports about traumatic injuries of veterans who are returning from combat. And we've known PTSD for a long time. It seems percentage-wise, though, if I can draw conclusions from, for instance, the Vietnam era, that there are just greater numbers of people who are suffering from different forms of PTSD. What in the world can be done to help this situation in some way get solved?
Well, PTSD is a very difficult condition to address. We are a lot better at diagnosing it than we were compared to Vietnam era veterans. But in terms of knowing the ways to address it, to cure it, if you will, it's pretty hard to do that. Now, I will tell you, the Veterans Administration is working hard, as well as the Department of Defense, to do a better job of diagnosing these young men and women that are affected with PTSD. And we are also looking at out-of-the-box ways to address this. I still think we have a long way to go. We on the Veterans Affairs Committee have hearings on this from time to time. And I wish we had a silver bullet to address this, but we just don't today. I think it's going to take a few more years to try to figure out what is the best solution to address those people that are affected with this. Now, one of the reasons we have this is that we have many more survivors of traumatic injuries in the war on terror than we had during the Vietnam era.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people are getting hit with these IEDs and other traumatic or other massive weapons, and they're surviving, whereas in the Vietnam era, they would have died. And so now that they survive, then we find out we've got these other conditions to deal with, like PTSD. So.
Yep.
We're going to have to continue working on this, and trust me, we are spending hundreds of millions of dollars a year to deal with this.
Yeah, very real deal, and obviously impacts lots of folks. Congressman Bill Flores joins us on Wednesdays when Congress is in session. You can hear the entire interview archived on our website at WTAW.com. Thanks for the time this morning, Bill.
Good to talk to you, Scott. I'd ask our listeners to pray for our country and our military men, women that protect it.
Thanks.